All right, hello everybody, and looking forward to getting rolling on this week. We have finally a chance to get back home in front of our crowd and get rolling, so we can't wait. But let's talk about the game and recapture some of the things that we talked about yesterday. One of the things we wanted to see when we were looking at the tape from yesterday was really the competes and toughness. It's a score that you've heard us talk about, the urgency, the finish, the physicality, all that factors into it. So we're looking for a number of players in terms of how they would stand out both offensively, defensively, and on teams. And I said yesterday I was pleased with the start of it, but as it went, I thought our intensity dipped towards the end, the second half, and that's the part I know we can improve upon. From a special team standpoint, the punt coverage and the protection were, you know, things that we wanted to take a look at and look at different guys. So we're trying like hell to feature different guys and what roles they can or cannot do. And so that's part of going through that process together that we're still looking. I was pleased with Matt Bryant in terms of his intent. And I thought Mike showing his strength, putting some kickoffs where we wanted the ball to find out who could cover on some of the kickoffs. That's an important part for us. I know you got lots of questions. I'll fill you in on everything regarding the team. So if you want to kick it off, Brian will lead the way. And if there's stuff you got to come back through a couple times, I'm glad to answer any questions.
Hey, AF.com.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
Good morning.
How you doing, guys? Go ahead, Kel.
What have you made of what you've seen from your corners in these past two games with Deji and Akeem King and CJ both seeing a number of snaps? Where are you at with that evaluation?
Yeah, that was really part of our intent to get that group in and Bleedy in as well, into the group, Deji and Goodwin and Bleedy, and see where that group was and how they would perform. So there was a number of examples, you know, that we placed a man-to-man. We want to see these guys stand up and play. So I was encouraged by a lot of the work by the corners so far. As it went into the game, I think Goodwin had about 20 plays. King had about 29 plays. Jane R. Jones had about 30 plays. So we're really – and Bleedy Wilson had about 20-some plays. So those were guys we were really trying to put out there and feature. I think we've got more work to do to find out, but we are gaining that information, Kels, as we're going. It's a good group. They're battling for it. All three of those that you had mentioned would have a role on teams as well. So not just defensively, but if you're a corner – and you're at the fourth or fifth spot, you really better have an impact on teams as well. So everything for them is part of the evaluation. And I thought there was an arrow up from their spot from last week to this week.
And I just have one more on that. With that position group and the receivers, I know you said that special teams will play a big impact on if they make the team. But how do you go about evaluating with so many guys making good plays when they do have a drop or a missed play? How do you go about the evaluation process of looking at it as a whole and not just going by a game-by-game basis?
Yep, that's exactly right. And so when we go back through and evaluate the players, sometimes even during the week, we'll go back through and with Mike Cruz in the video department, they can put, okay, let's look at all of this player's plays. He may have had 40 plays offensively or defensively, including special teams, over the last week, and we'll watch that player again. And really, when you do the big block, what are you looking for is that player, is they're doing things consistently right as opposed to up and down. And we know as first-year players, there's less consistency as part of making the mistakes that they go through. So that's what we're trying to find when we go through two and three and even four games together. If they played – 8 or 9 quarters, now you get to see who can really, you know, consistently get the job done. The second thing, Kels, that we look for is, are there mistakes, which we understand, but are they corrected or are they repeated? And if you fix some of the problems and they stay corrected, then you know that player is getting the information and can, you know, can make the adjustment. If they miss it and continue to miss it, that's a red flag and that's a concern for us.
Gotcha. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Coach, I remember last week you said that you wanted to see more, you know, I guess looking to jar loose the football from your defense and more of an intent to focus on turnovers, particularly, you know, forcing fumbles. And Devondre Campbell knocked the ball loose early on in the game yesterday. I'm just curious, did you see any more of a focus from your defense, and how did you evaluate their efforts in that regard?
We did, Will. We were hoping that we would have more shots on the ball in terms of trying to force some fumbles. We only knocked the one out, but we did go from three in our first game to triple that amount. So it was improved, not to the level that we'd like at, but it was improved. We'll get more shots when we get more hits on the quarterback in terms of forcing fumbles. But it was off to a good start with Devondre, who got the hit to knock it off. But the encouraging part, we had almost, three times as many shots at the ball on the ball carrier or the receiver when they had it in their possession. And that was a good first step. You know, we were very disappointed in the shots that we took down in Miami. So it increased this past week, and it should ramp up again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Coach, you said you were anxious to look at the second half last night. Now that you have had a little chance to look at and evaluate some things, any names kind of stand out? I know you said you were disappointed in the intensity and some other things, but who stood out to you?
Sure. I'll throw you on a few that I thought did. On the linebacker side of things, I felt like Kamal Ishmael, really had a deliberate mindset for the football. He was somebody that, had real intent about him all the way through. I thought Josh Kyes in the special teams really looked like he had some speed. Quincy Mojay was one, although he had a couple of missed assignments, he really, had good intent for the ball. On the offensive side, I would say I like the strain from some of the receiver spots. I thought Reggie Davis on offense, had a big play, down the field, which was good to see. I can't think who else. At offensive line-wise, it wasn't in the second half, but both Garland and Wes Schweitzer, I both thought had real physical approach to their game. That part was encouraging. I thought Sean Harlow had an improved game from intent and physicality. He had a lot of snaps all the way through. So those are probably a few that jumped out. I thought on the special teams, Brian Hill had a real, competing, tough day in terms of the way that he competed there. So those are a few that jumped out to me.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
You got it.
AJC?
Coach, how did the operation go with Marquand upstairs and starting down and what are your plans for Saturday?
That was a good assessment for us to go through both of them in a new spot for this one. As we get through for Saturday, I haven't addressed it with them yet, but I'll be ready to hit you on that at practice as we go through the week. I'd like to discuss it with them and get their input on it as well. Both of them were able to get the information, to the guys quickly and clearly. So I was glad to have the experience to feel it. And then I'll sense that this next week, we'll go back to do it like we did it on the first week with Marquand on the field and Sark upstairs. That's my, as I'm heading into the week without talking to them, that's where I would be going.
And how fluid was it? Did you sense, it seemed like there were any hiccups, delay of game calls or anything like that? Was it pretty fluid?
It was. And, the personnel groups calling in both offensively and defensively, that part was communicated well. We had a couple that felt like it got closed down offensively. I don't know if it was a result of, changing a play or not. But past that, I thought the offense did a good job of getting in and out of groups and hitting their rhythm. We like changing personnel groups and getting the new, ones each time from – and then same thing, base to nickel and back and forth. So – I really felt, especially in the first half, led that the offense really, had good intent coming out and changing groups and making calls at the line.
And Casey, I guess hobbled off the field. Vaughn caught that at home, and we didn't ask you about it yesterday. Was he okay?
Yes, he had an ankle injury, and I haven't spoke to the medical team here yet. I'll do that after this conference. I'll have an update on him for tomorrow, but we're hopeful that he is in good shape. I don't have an update on going through that.
Thanks,
Coach. All right, you guys got it. Who's next?
ESPN, Vaughn.
Coach, when you look at Vic Beasley, you know, we talk so much about him as the pass rusher. Can you talk about maybe some of the other elements of his game that you guys are trying to evolve? We saw some of that yesterday in his play, in the short play that he was on the field.
Right. The one of the things that we've really seen from him in training camp is an increased power that he's able to use in his pass rush. So he's always got the speed and the get off, which makes him him. And then now he's got the ability to power offensive tackles more than he has before, which is an important feature, because as he's trying to beat the guy to the punch and they're, you know, you want to be able to catch somebody on their heels, so to speak, once in a while. And he has shown he has the ability to do that. Yesterday he got a couple snaps at linebacker at the Sam spot.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Devondre will be playing that spot together a good bit of the time. But we've been encouraged by the training camp that he's thrown, Vaughn. That started way back, you know, in the offseason. I thought he was ready. But just now, as you're going in from year two to year three, you just feel a difference in the way he prepares, the way he practices. And that's the kind of jump that we would hope to see. But I would say if I had to put it onto one thing, it's the physical style that he's playing with. Everybody knows the speed that he has. Now there's a physical element to coincide with that.
I think you said last week you talked about, you know, every once in a while working on drops. And he seemed like he played that one play very well early in the game where he kind of dropped in the coverage.
He did.
Made a play.
He's got the athletic ability to do that. And so playing in space and having the ability to go tackle, that's always been a part of his game that he's really just picked up naturally, you know, the athleticism of being in space and going to make a play. So you were right that he did do a good job on that play. Had a real understanding of how to own his leverage in the tackle. So I've been encouraged by what we see so far from him. He's really off to a good start.
And how much, Sam, do you want to see him kind of practice? I mean, how much is that going to be part of his regimen?
I would say it'll be similar to what it's been in the past, where his, you know, the more nickel that we play, he'll always be featured in that role. But then as he is a Sam, I sometimes tease with him, like I say, he's like Ancestry.com. He's a, you know, 1/16th Sam linebacker some days. I give him a hard time. So he is really a Sam who also plays in our base package, who plays nickel defensive end, which is pretty normal. And we're excited about where he's headed. His first job is as a pass rusher, but it is nice to know he has the versatility to play in space, drop back into coverage when we need him to.
Thanks, Coach.
Welcome.
Associated Press. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Couple things. You mentioned you touched a little bit on Sark. How is that? I mean, obviously the first team offense, we hadn't seen much of them, but they've looked pretty effective, Matt and the guys. That transition to Sark from Kyle seems to be going pretty well, at least on the outside. How do you see how they're kind of meshing with each other right now?
Yeah, offensively, you know, we want to make sure, you know, quite a bit of the system that we have stays intact. That was really important, not just for the players, but also for scouting. So we're having a clear understanding of the style of player that they guys who are heading out on the road scouting are looking to stay consistent with that. Past that, the guys who are here on the staff, guys like Raheem Morris and Chris Morgan and Wade Harmon and Keith Carter, who were here to help kind of bridge some of the things with Sark. And then past that, the guy's a excellent communicator. I'm talking about Sark. And he made it a point to try to get that connection going with all the players, not just the quarterbacks, but on the team. And that part really comes through with him. He communicates with the guys. And so that connection, it doesn't happen overnight, but he's put the time in to make sure that everybody's really clear on the style and attitude that we'd like to play with. So we got plenty of things that we're working on to try and improve. We're not showing everything. that we'll use in the regular season here in the preseason. Right now it's about timing and, you know, the quickness, the urgency that we play with without tons of the game plan portions going in. So as far as Sark's role here with the offense, he's off to a great start. You can tell the leadership he's had by the connection he has with the staff and the game, you know, management of the players and the staff. So we're excited about where we're headed. And he's off to a really good start here.
One more thing, too. I know you mentioned this week getting back home. It's more than just another home game, obviously, with moving into
right.
a new place. How will that kind of change things a little bit this week? It's obviously not just another preseason game.
Well, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have our first walkthrough over at the stadium, just because most all the players haven't been in it. So on Friday, we'll head over there and show them the locker room and show them where we walk to the field and all the things that you normally do. So that'll be new for us this week. But past that, like, it's the connection with the fans. And so we're excited to see them and, you know, like, our players so love playing for the fans. So having that connection going and hearing them and feeling it is something we're looking forward to. So it's kind of like, you know, double, where you get new spot to go to and then reconnect with the group that we love. So we're really excited.
Thanks, Cook.
Yep.
92.9 The Game.
Hey, Coach. Notice Levine Toilolo did not play yesterday. What's his status?
He'll be. He was dealing with a personal issue, and is back with the team today, and will be good to go heading into tomorrow. So he was excused over the weekend due to a personal matter, and everything's fine with him, and heading back into practice with us tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll circle back here for any follow-ups, AF.com.
I'm good.
Hey, Coach, I know that we touched on this a little bit on Friday, but now that the second game is kind of behind us and we're looking ahead to the third one, what is your approach to that third preseason game? I mean, with 90 players left to evaluate, does that change how most teams usually approach it with – this is the game where a lot of starters will see a lot of time. Is that going to change now that there are still more players left to evaluate?
Not necessarily, because of usually we had this number heading into the third game. It's the fourth game that you're now able to play more players. So this one would stay consistent. And our approach will be more on an individual basis, who we really want to try to feature. And sometimes you see that post game when you see, boy, that guy had a lot of plays in the game that may have been a player we were really trying to find out about. Like we had referenced Kelsey earlier about, you know, the corners with one group, and then, you know, almost all of them had over 25 plays and some special teams plays. We did that running back as well. So there's a number of guys that we're really trying to dig in on and find out what they can do. And that's as important to me, Will, as what they can't do, because you have to find out both. But what can they do, and how can we feature them? And some of the things that they are, he may not be this on punt, but he can play this on kickoff return. He may not play this on offense, but he can really split out wide as a tight end and make an impact. So we're still trying to feature guys in the very best way who we don't know enough about. And then for the players that we do have lots of information on, it's about their readiness to get ready for the regular season. So you can't put a big blanket on the whole thing, because there's a lot of guys on the team that are in different stages of their development. The first year player is still trying to, you know, figure out, you know, where's the bus going to the game. And the veteran player is trying to really be sharp in their approach. So that's kind of the fun part. There's guys at all different levels, you know, of readiness, and it's our job to put them into spots to evaluate them.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, just to piggyback on that, are you going to take the same approach with your quarterbacks for the third game, Matt, a series or two, and then Schaub, limited action again, or are you just not sure yet?
We haven't decided all the way yet, but both of them, you know, want the work, and if it was up to them, they'd take as much as they could. So I don't generally discuss with them how long they're going to play, so I won't share that with you, because I want them ready. And then I just pull them, and they understand. But I don't want them going into a game thinking I'm only going to have four, I'm only going to have 10. I'd rather have them ready, going for as long as they have to. And they would prefer that as well. So okay. I have a general number in my head. And when we get close to that number or series or concepts that we'd like to see, and then we make the move.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I was curious if they actually knew how much they were going to play ahead of time, but thanks.
No, that's good. Yeah, I don't generally tell them until, you know, in-game, and then on the sideline we make a move. And offensively and defensively, sometimes we'll take a player out on offense or defense, but they stay active on special teams. So it's really on a case-by-case basis. I may take a go to – you know, the running back coach and say, okay, he's out on offense, but he's still going to play on special teams, or vice versa. He's off on teams, but we still want to play him on offense, or he's out on both offense or defense and special teams. So it really goes case by case. And we have a plan that we discuss as a staff of who we'd like to feature, how much we'd like to play him. And we try to stay close to that guideline for these preseason games because of the evaluation part being so important.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it.
AJC, any follow-ups?
Yeah, Coach, what happened to the run defense when the reserves got in?
We it was actually a couple concepts that we really thought we could play better, Led, and we struggled with it on a couple of the gap schemes, some counter plays where it wasn't something that should have totally caught us off guard, but we just didn't play it like we'd like to fit it. So we can't wait to get back to work on it. It wasn't a question of not being physical enough or even missing tackles for that approach. It was a real factor in not having our fits correct. And when we know our fits and we make our hits, it feels right. And on some of those ones, we just lost leverage on a play or lost leverage on a block where, and you know from coaching and watching, when you lose that leverage, that's when the explosive plays happen. So honestly, in those, it's good that some of them happen now because you have to learn to go through some of those problems and say, that's an example of what we're talking about. Like, is the mistake going to happen again? So it's definitely a red flag when it happens once in the game and you go over on the sideline and it happens again. You're like, okay, where did we not understand this coaching cue or technique? So it was a matter of us not fitting them correctly. So I would put that down as some technique errors for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so that's on your to-do list today?
You got that right. And, yeah, we've already hit a number of those. So as the guys come in, that'll be a big area of emphasis heading into this week. So the good news about telling the truth, there's always things to work on. And so that happens to be one playing against our offense that doesn't come up in training camp. And it didn't come up in Miami on some of the specific runs that that Pittsburgh popped out with. So I was glad that it did. And that is a good byproduct of playing, you know, the preseason games. Mike and I talked before the game and we were both so excited to see different guys and how we'd feature them. And when you saw some of those runs hit, that was one like, all right, that's another area of us to emphasize. So it's always good to have things to hit the guys on.
And how is Reggie Davis helping himself by making plays in both of these last few games?
It's really when a ball player is a guy makes the most of his opportunities. And so good for him. Like, he came into our rookie mini camp, not even signed, but on a tryout. And he's learning new skills. Like, he's always had some return game with him, you know, from his UGA times. But he's trying to compete as a gunner to go, you know, cover a punt. Does he have that? He made a good catch down the sideline, missed a block on a run game that was critical. So it's that consistency that we're looking for from him. But he's definitely been somebody right from the first tryout that he put his best foot forward saying, I want to show I can, you know, do something here. And we're encouraged by where he's at so far.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, have a good one.
Vaughn, got anything to follow up on, bud?
Yeah, a couple things. One thing on Vic, Coach.
Yep.
What about his ability to play the run? Where is that at right now?
You know, that's always been a part of his game that's been good. He's you would think he would be smaller for a defensive end, and he is by the weight that he plays at. But I will say this: the strength that he's able to play with when he can get on a tight end or get off on a tackle is really good. So he plays, he weighs lighter than most defensive ends, but he plays it strong. And that just happens sometimes, Vaughn. There are certain guys that even though they're lighter, they're able to play really well and play at the size of a bigger man. And that is the case with Vic. And I've coached players, you know, in the past who've had that same strength in the upper body to shed a blocker or to be really aggressive, where you can control a man just with the upper body strength that you have to get off in the run game. So I've been encouraged by him in the run game, but I've always have felt he's been, that's been a good part of his game that we just don't talk about very often because by the nature of his position, you count on the sacks, and that's almost like a wide receiver. You know, how's he doing in the run game? He's doing a great job. But, well, how many catches did he have? You know, it's kind of the same thing at defensive end. It's a big part of what he does, something that we don't talk about a lot. And with him, it's the strength in his hands and his upper body that he's able to get separation and lock out of guys, because he does have long arms, you know, for 6'3", but he has long arms and has good strength that he can, you know, use that length to keep a blocker off him and then shed him to make a play.
Okay. And then going to the offensive guard situation with the two guys that you got competing, you did it with Schweitzer for the second game. Do you go back to Garland for the third game, or how do you plan to do it? You know,
I'm going
to
go.
Are you still evaluating that?
Yep. It's a good question. And I thought from a preparation standpoint, I'd rather go through a couple of days here and then see how their week goes. It's kind of that close, Vaughn, to say who's battling for it. Here's what I loved about Ben in the game. He played both center, both center and guard to compete, the toughness, the preparation going into it. He had a really good week. And Wes, you could tell his intent right from the beginning was going for it. So I'd rather wait until the week's end and then put him off. I'll still probably rotate him a good bit during the first half like we did this week. But let's take it through the 3 days, and then I'll be glad to give you that information on Friday. Mm-hmm. As we're heading into the weekend.
Is there anything that either one of them is doing better than the other, or do you just see it as an even race right now?
Both of them, I think, as you're going through, both of them have really good, you know, run game stuff where they can get onto the second level and get guys. Wes is a little bigger, has a little more bulk. Ben's got, you know, almost the same size, but, you know, when he gets on, he can really latch on a guy down the field with his quickness. So, they're a little different that way, but from the competes and toughness, we're very fortunate here, that we have two players, that are really playing at a high level. So, I kind of expected this with these two, to be honest with you. I've felt this competition going the way they work with one another post-practice, pre-practice. It's one of the things that gets unspoken about is they're competing for the job at guard, but they also work with one another pre-practice, post-practice. That shows a lot about who they are as teammates. And it would have been real easy for them not to do that. And it's just the opposite, as opposed to being awkward about it. Let's see how good we can get. And the byproduct of that is both of them are playing better than they ever have.